lane. That's around milepost
number. Blog Talk Radio.
On 167 southbound on milepost 10 near Stewart Road and Jovita Boulevard, DOT crews and State Patrol have been dispatched to that collision as well to take care of it. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, the Transformation Talk Radio Network and Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx.
This report is sponsored by Albertsons and Safeway.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. It'll be a rematch for the White House in 2024. President Biden and former President Trump each clinched their respective parties' nomination Tuesday, setting up the replay of the 2020 election. Recent polls have the two neck and neck. House Republicans are moving toward a vote today that would effectively ban TikTok in the U.S. Aaron Rayal with the story.
The move would require the app's Chinese parent company ByteDance to sell to an American owner in an attempt to address national security concerns. President Biden said Friday that he would sign the bill into law. Former President Trump shared his opinions on the vote, saying a TikTok ban would only empower Facebook, which he called an enemy of the people. More than 170 million TikTok users saw notifications last Thursday urging them to complain to House representatives about the bill.
Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is eyeing Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers as a running mate in his independent bid for the White House, Paul DeCastro reports.
Kennedy told the New York Times that Rodgers and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura are at the top of the list of potential running mates. Rodgers endorsed Kennedy last year, and they've both been outspoken vaccine skeptics. Kennedy recently posted a photo on social media of him and Rodgers hiking together. The 40-year-old Rodgers is entering his second season with the Jets. His first season ended with him rupturing his left Achilles tendon just four plays into the campaign.
Colorado Republican Representative Ken Buck will leave Congress before the end of his term. He says the GOP has changed too much for his liking, saying it has become the party of Donald Trump in recent years.
This space just keeps going down, and I don't need to spend my time
here. Buck announced on X yesterday he'll leave Congress at the end of next week, trimming Republicans' razor-thin majority. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Shop the stock-up sale at Safeway and Albertsons and earn four times rewards points on thousands of participating items throughout the store. Points can be redeemed for free groceries or up to a dollar off per gallon at participating Safeway, Chevron, or Texaco fuel stations. Sale ends April 30th.
Let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather. A look for Wednesday. We'll see clouds in the morning making way to partly sunny skies later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 52, 53 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to just above freezing, down to about 35. For Thursday and running up in the weekend, partly to mostly sunny skies. And those high temperatures climbing from the mid-50s to possibly 70s by Saturday and for Sunday. All right.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
She's a pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice in gray, dark, and night. She's a pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you want to listen twice. Find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need a mistake, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. That's it, I have it at home.
Good morning and welcome, Transformation Talk listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged, where we share advice and support from experts in addiction and recovery. I am so thrilled to have a special guest on this morning. I know this woman for quite some time. In fact, at least a decade and a half, if not two decades. And the organization that she is a part of is something that I want every home out there to be aware of. Because in recovery, this organization called Young People in Recovery envisions a world where all young people have the resources they need to thrive in recovery from addiction to drugs and alcohol. And I'm going to tell you how to be a part of this movement and folks out there, parents and teachers alike listening this morning, I want you to direct all of your young people that are struggling to be a part of Young People in Recovery. So the person that can tell us all about it is the person that is the executive director of Young People in Recovery, and her name is Ann Herbst. And let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a woman who has been in this position for about 3 years, but prior to that, she was also a part of Young People in Recovery as the Director of Development and Vice President of Institutional Advancement. But prior to coming to Young People in Recovery, this woman has written several books, in addition to which she has been wrote a book called Willie, Raising and Loving a Child with Attention Deficit Disorder, which was subject of a spirit section profile on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Her freelance articles on parenting, health, and psychology have appeared in Marie Claire, Self, Parents, Red Book, Good Housekeeping, and New York Magazine, among others. The Pushy Brush on the Bronx and Recovery Recharge is delighted to welcome the Executive Director of Young People in Recovery, Ann Herbst. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much, Ellen, and I'm so excited to be here. As a Pushy Broad from Manhattan, I'm always happy to talk to my friend, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx.
Fantastic. Terrific. I'm so glad. All right, let's start so that people understand why it's so important to have an organization like this. So tell us a little bit about YPR from the beginning, Young People in Recovery. What's the mission of Young People in Recovery?
Yeah, Young People in Recovery was founded by young people in recovery to help others. And it was really created because a lot of young people and people of all ages could do very well in structured treatment settings, but when they went back home to the, you know, typical triggers and settings where they had their addiction first took root, they were struggling. They would have reoccurrences of use and, you know, back, rinse, repeat into treatment, and people felt they just weren't succeeding. So the idea is that it's an organization that will help people with what we call life skills. So finding and, resources to complete their educations, to find jobs, to find housing, social networks that support their recovery, things like that. So we're not treatment. It's this idea of recovery support services for young people by young people.
And how long has YPR been an organization?
It was founded in 2010. We got our 501c3 in 2015, but it was made effective 2013. The IRS, I don't know how they make these decisions. So usually math is not really a question that's hard to answer, but this one is a little funky. But basically, we've been serving youth and young adults for now it's 14 years, and we are happy to have 54 chapters in, I think it's 16 states, still growing. Volunteers can lead our chapters. Anybody can start a YPR chapter. They just have to go to our website and click a button, which is youngpeopleinrecovery.org. And, you know, we want to grow and be in every corner of every state. And we also have a lot of online services because, you know, we know that that, since COVID, is a great way that people are connecting and finding each other.
And why did you decide to call it, or why did the organization decide to call it Young People in Recovery?
Well, I'm clearly not in our age demographics, but it was really called Young People in Recovery because that's who started it and that's who it's for. When we say young, we're talking loosely under 30, age 30, but anybody can be a part of a YPR chapter, what we call recovery allies, so friends and family members. We welcome people of all ages at our meetings. We have even now an online support group for parents and friends and family members of young people in recovery. So really the idea was that we weren't seeing these resources in communities nationwide. So it's this sort of DIY mentality. You know, if you build it, they will come. And that's really what's happened. It's been incredible to see the growth over, you know, the past 10, 14 years.
All right. So let's make it simple for everybody. Let's go back to the beginning. I go to young people InRecovery.org, all right? I go to the website, and is there a charge for this? How do I sign up? Tell me the basics.
Yeah, so we don't charge our participants to be involved in our groups in any way. We have the chapters meet in person, so you can go to our website and see the click on the chapters tab, and it will show you where our chapters are. It will even give you email addresses for the chapter leads. So if you see your town there, there's a chapter there. But if you don't see your town there, you can go to events and see what the online offerings are. We have weekly all recovery meetings for both in English and Spanish. We have special group for LGBTQ+ folks. And again, I mentioned the friends and family members group, which is monthly, not weekly, for now anyway. But if you see an event, you can go online or in person. And again, we don't charge anybody anything to be a part of it.
All right. You hear? Transformation Talk Network listeners, this organization is free for young people especially and their loved ones and their family. There are separate events and separate meetings. So every young person in recovery out there that is automatically going to 12-step meetings but does want to find other ways to connect with people in recovery and really appreciate recovery, Young People in Recovery is free to join. Just sign up on youngpeopleinrecovery.org.
So, and Ellen, if I can interrupt for a second, too, because you mentioned 12-step, and I think it's also really important for your listeners and viewers to know that YPR is what we call all pathways to recovery. So whether you are a 12-stepper, whether you are smart recovery, whether you medication-assisted treatment, faith-based harm reduction, or so-called natural recovery, where, you know, you don't belong to any specific group or treatment philosophy, you just want to improve your health and wellness. We also are welcoming to people who are seeking recovery. So we don't talk about sober time. You know, you don't have to have a certain number of days or months or years to join us. So everybody really is welcome, even the so-called, you know, sober curious. If you just want to check out what recovery might mean to you, how you can define it for yourself. And if you don't know yet, that's okay. You're still welcome.
I'm glad that you clarified that because there are so many different ways that you can be participatory. So what I love about it is that I've known this program for a very, very long time, and it's kind of a movement, and you talk about it being a movement. Tell us what that means.
Yeah, so, you know, I think for a lot of young people, they didn't see themselves reflected in the groups where they were recommended to join. So, you know, the typical story is somebody gets out of treatment, they're handed, you know, in the old days, a piece of paper with a phone number or a meeting list in their town. And, you know, they show up and they're people who are their parents' age, even their grandparents' age. And, you know, and they're thinking, well, okay, this is fine. And if it's going to help me, I'll do it. But who am I going to hang out with on a Friday night? Who am I going to date? You know, where am I going to find, like, this? So I know it's not safe for me to go to the parties and the bars and the places I used to hang out and get into trouble. So what do I do? And the philosophy is really that everybody needs social connection. Everybody needs a pathway to, you know, if you don't have things that are rewarding for you, and I'm not even just talking about money, although I'm not talking about money because, you know, having a way to be financially independent is really important for people's recovery, and money can be a trigger for a lot of people. But we just want to make sure that whatever people wanted to do before addiction derailed their lives, did they want to be a teacher? Did they want to be a doctor? Did they want to own their own business? Did they want to, whatever it is, be an artist? You can still do that. And that nothing is off limits to you just because, you know, you have a substance use disorder or you had active addiction in your life. We want that to be the smallest part of your life and the recovery being the biggest part of your life. Everything's open to you. That the world is still a big place where you can achieve and enjoy and grow and thrive.
That's why this organization is so important for everybody to be a part of. Do you have an idea of your membership currently?
Well, we provided tens of thousands of services every year and thousands of events. So, you know, it's interesting because you might have every participation in YPR can look different for different people depending on what they're involved in. And that's what's so nice about it is that people can customize it. People really enjoy. The chapters do what we call pro-social activities. So, I mean, we know what antisocial activities are. These are the opposite. These are pro-social activities, things like yoga or hiking or basketball or whatever. Our Louisville, Kentucky chapter has had Ultimate Frisbee for 6 years, and people come every Thursday or whatever day it is, and they go. You know, that could be a huge part of their recovery. Other people really get into the advocacy. They want to change laws and make a difference in public policy. Other people just really enjoy doing, you know, community service, cleaning up parks and, you know, visiting high schools and talking about recovery and prevention. So it can look really different depending on what your particular interests are. And each chapter can customize what they do and where they do it, how they do it, depending on what the needs are of their local communities. For example, a lot of our chapters are doing a lot of like naloxone distribution right now, Narcan, teaching people how to, reverse overdoses, which is obviously incredibly important right now.
And you also have things called the Life Skills Program and also a Prevention and Recovery Program for young teenagers. Just talk briefly about those two things.
Yeah, so briefly, those grew out of what the chapters were doing in their communities. And we have three Life Skills curriculum programs. The first one is called My Recovery is Epic, and it's for young adults at age 18 and up. The second one is for criminal justice involved individuals of all ages, and it's called the Phoenix Program. And the third one, our newest one, is a little more in the prevention space for 14 to 18-year-olds, so high school age kids who might be struggling with substances. They may not necessarily identify as being in recovery yet. They may not have had a formal substance use diagnosis, but, you know, they're misusing drugs and alcohol and are looking, you know, who we want to help them find a better way.
And in addition to that, you have a few others that we're going to touch on briefly. You have a continuing education program you have a continuing education credits to peer workers, social workers, and others in helping professions so that they can learn best practices and how to support youth and young adults in recovery. So it's kind of that give back, which is wonderful.
That's coming soon. That one isn't quite up and running yet, but that's on tap for later in the year. So, yes, we are having an event, and if I can give a little plug to our conference, YPR is putting on the Youth Recovery Expo, and that's in Washington, D.C., July 9th and 10th. There's a Hill Day component to that, and folks who are looking for continuing ed credits can get it by attending the conference on July 9th, and you can learn more about that on our website.
YoungPeopleInRecovery.org. Okay, and I see the Youth Recovery Expo. And one last word about the other thing called Idea Corps. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so we are running something called Idea Corps, which IDEA stands for Inclusivity, Diversity, Equity, and Accessibility. And these are led by Black and Brown people who want to give back to their communities. It's a little bit different than a YPR chapter. We're focused on education, stigma reduction, and harm reduction in historically underserved communities. So that is led by our Director of Inclusivity and Equity, and it was something that came out of YPR's response, like many organizations nationwide, to the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement. So we are very invested, and we really want to center the lived experience of individuals who have disproportionately borne the brunt of the war on drugs and make sure that we are serving communities that still need a lot of attention and have not been treated fairly.
Well, you have a variety of programs that is far-reaching and covers every single topic that one could ask for. How to have a good time, how to learn something, how to be included. All of these things make Young People in Recovery a place that you need to go and sign up for. It is free. Do you have to be a part of, do you have to be in recovery in order to sign up to YPR, or can anybody join?
Yeah, that's a great question. We welcome people who are recovery allies. I myself am a recovery ally with people who've had addiction, substance use disorder in my family. My lived experience is being an ally. So, yeah, we treasure our allies. And we do, like I said, welcome folks of any age. Of course, the focus is on the young people, but we know that we have a lot to learn from folks of all ages who have been in active recovery, and we want to get their experiences and lessons as well.
And I have been a part of YPR since its inception, so I'm telling you, this is an amazing organization. So let's talk a little bit about chapters and communities. First of all, let's get something clear. Does YPR provide treatment for drug or alcohol addiction?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, because that's probably the one that I get asked the most. So we do not provide treatment. We will help you find treatment if you are ready for treatment and or need treatment or want to find treatment for a friend or loved one. A chapter lead would definitely in your community know treatment resources. We also have resources available on our website on the resources section. Again, that's youngpeopleinrecovery.org. But we are not clinical service providers. We are in this section of the field that is called peer recovery support services. So we can't write you a prescription for medication, to help with your fight alcohol or opioid craving. We can help you find somebody who can do that, but we are going to help you, you know, with your social engagement, with your building your cultural capital, helping you find education, housing, employment, all the things that are not like writing a prescription or sitting down and with a therapist, but the things that are also very important outside of those treatment settings to help you be successful in recovery.
And you talked before about chapters, and there are chapters in, about 54, 55 chapters in 19 states right now.
Yep.
And so what happens is someone joins and they go into their particular town and they're looking on your list and they don't find a chapter. Then what? What do you suggest?
So if they would like to start a chapter, we recommend that if you can find a couple of other people who might also be interested in starting one with you. It is a pretty serious amount of time to volunteer to be a chapter lead, about 10 hours a week. But we love our volunteers, and they are some of our most effective chapter leads. And all you need to do is sign up on our website to start a chapter. And you fill out a form, and assuming that you do everything that we ask you to do, and show up, for your Zooms and all of that, we will train you and provide everything you need to start a chapter in your community. If you don't have the time to do that, though, you're welcome to join online. So we have lots of online activities. So if you don't have a chapter in your community, you can still take part.
And that's great. This is partially a whole new thing, and maybe this was with the COVID inception that you have more things and more participations online, which is really, really great. So somebody will get something out of it. There's no question. Okay. So how can people find out more about all of the activities you do, including the Idea Corps and the Spanish program that you have? You also have something called Rainbow Recovery. You're hosting Rainbow Recovery. Let's talk about that in person.
Yeah, that's one of our weekly online recovery meetings, and that is specifically for the LGBTQ+ population. We know that folks who identify in that community are geometrically more likely to have substance use issues than others who are in the straight cis community. It is, a lot of stigma, a lot of prejudice, and, there's often trauma, there's also often physical violence. So there's a lot of reasons why substance misuse and addiction is more common for LGBTQ+ youth. And we want to make sure that they have a place to come and be supported where they are with their peers, because it's often not safe for them in a lot of their communities to be out. And, you know, it's really hard. You can't just, if you can't walk into a meeting or to a treatment center to a, even to talk to your parents about what's going on, then how are you going to get better? So you need to have some place where you are safe and you're able to talk about what's really happening in your life.
And if we want to find out more, not only do we go to youngpeopleinrecovery.org, but you have something called an e-newsletter. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so our newsletter, you can sign up on our website, just scroll down, and there's just, you press a button, you'll put in your email address so we can send it to you. And we feature topics, you know, different things that are going on in the recovery space. We feature chapters and chapter events, interviews, all kinds of fun stuff. It's just, it's an entertaining and informational monthly newsletter that will tell you everything about YPR. And it's another way to stay connected to our organization and to, you know, the greater recovery community.
And is YPR on social media?
Yes, of course we are. Thank you for asking. We are on Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok, which is our newest channel, and we've been having a lot of fun on TikTok.
And you have something for Spanish-speaking populations?
Yes. We have also, our website is available in Spanish too. There's a button if you go onto youngpeopleinrecovery.org, or you can go onto ESP, like Espanol. You can just press a button to click and it'll flip to English or Spanish depending on where you started. If you start in English, you can just press a button to go to Spanish. If you start on Spanish, you can press a button to go to English.
And they can also download some information as well, right? Do you have a life skills curriculum? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we have a lot of resources that are available on our resource page. We were talking about LGBTQ+. We have lots of resources there, different links for the Spanish, for Spanish speakers, for parents. We have toolkits, for example, on xylazine. We have... online, we actually also have monthly Narcan training. So there's lots of things you can sign up for. We have webinars. We've got all kinds of fun and interesting things that you can do through our website if you check out the resources page.
I know this is very important to you, and it's personally important because you have spent so much time in the organization and you have a special love for it. I do know many people that started this organization. You and I met while you were working at this organization. It really has a very, very big impact. As I was saying to you before we started, there are so many people that I have as clients that are young people in recovery that have a very difficult time being proud of being in recovery. Youngpeopleinrecovery.org gives you the opportunity to be proud of yourself in recovery. So we have 30 seconds, and leave us with a great message and tell us why this is so important to you.
Yeah, I just want to say to anybody who's out there who is wrestling with shame or stigma about being in recovery, just speaking to what you were referring to, please come check. You know, we talk about the opposite of addiction is community. And there are so many people who have had the same lived experience that it's really important to just get some help, whether it's through YPR or counseling or any kind of assistance. Please don't suffer in silence. Your life is important, and we want you to have a happy, good life full of health and wellness. And it is possible. Recovery is possible at any age. And I encourage you to just take that first step. You are worth it.
Youngpeopleinrecovery.org. Sign up today. It's free. It will change your life. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening. And remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York, that's it, I had made it at home.
Every day is a great day to save a life. Recovery Mobile Clinic provides treatment options for drug and alcohol addictions that are proven to decrease relapse rates while increasing treatment availability. Along with options found in a typical office or clinic, the Recovery Mobile Clinic also focuses on a narcotic-free addiction program. They are 501c3 nonprofit. Save a life today and donate to their patient recovery fund. Visit recoverymobileclinic.com.
Ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery, of transformation, and freedom from stress and burnout. Hi, I'm Gary Miles, the author of Breaking Free, a guide to achieving personal and professional freedom as a lawyer. This book is intended for lawyers and other professionals who don't feel satisfied or happy in their business or in their life. Resentments, fears, stress, and worry all limit our happiness. I call these prisons. Breaking Free has the tools to help you identify these mental prisons, and it gives you actionable steps you can take today to start overcoming them. If you're ready to enjoy a sense of personal freedom that you've not yet experienced or which you deserve, make Breaking Free your personal companion in unlocking the doors to success and fulfillment. Get your copy today. Visit www.garymiles.net.
To put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Alternative Talk 1150 is your sports organization's safe bet when it comes to airing your team's games. Our players are all seasoned professionals when it comes to sports programming. Imagine your games being heard on local radio. Your team deserves the MVP treatment. Call 425-653-1150 today to learn how affordable and fun it is to broadcast your games on the radio. Call 425-653-1150 and make your next season something special. That's 425-653-1150.
Hey, I'm Coach Debbie from Story U Talk Radio, and I want to encourage you to write your book. Weekly, I offer topics about style and storytelling. I take your questions on our live show every Thursday at 4 o'clock, or you can subscribe to Story U, that's capital U, on any of your favorite platforms.
Hey, that's one nice invite, Josie.
Yeah, birthday present. I really sneezed, too. Oh, and I see you finally got a new helmet.
I did. Bought it cheap online.
Love those side wings.
Hey, you hungry?
Yeah, I'm starving. I need some water, too.
Okay, follow me. We'll turn off here.
I'm right behind you.
Hey, watch the cars. They can be crazy.
I called 911. They should be here soon.
Was this young man hit by a car?
Yes, and I'm concerned because his helmet is smashed and cracked open. It's a brand new helmet.
It's probably a fake.
Please help him.
Fakes cause real harm. You're smart. Buy smart.
No, for real.
Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Many of you have heard us for, like, I don't know, like since 2019 when we came off of a video shoot, yes, believe it or not, music video shoot. We were sitting on the plane and Jessica and I said to each other, we've got to create something with AI. And out of that plane ride, AI for the Soul was created. Now, 2019, 2024, they're not laughing at us much anymore. And there's a very good reason. AI, whatever your notion of it is, the future is now with this. And I am so excited to introduce you to Dr. Nathan Price, Chief Scientific Officer at Thorne. Many of you know Thorne. You know it. You've seen the brand. You've seen this office. You know Thorne. And to come out of the gate from their background and take a look at a new approach in healthcare that uses artificial intelligence to help identify early signs of disease, it is about time. And what we love about this is for those of you in the medical profession, the holistic profession, especially my holistic friends, please look at the possibilities. It's so great to have you here join us, Dr. Price. Thank you so much for today. I want to start out by I want to ask you a question before we get into all these other questions. I know for us, when we sat on a plane and very late at night, why this was important to us to help people in the world of positive thinking, positive talk. But I want to know what's in your heart when you think about the possibilities of what you're talking about today. What excites you most about this, really from a personal perspective?
Yeah, I find the future incredibly exciting, I guess. I was reviewed at one point as being relentlessly future-oriented. You know, I feel like, you know,
I totally get it.
Star Wars, never your mind on where you were, what you were doing. I'm always thinking about what's next. I get excited about it a lot. And AI and health excites me to no end. And, you know, I surround myself with some people that are more naysayers just to kind of rein me in a little bit, but, you know, that's good. You've always got to have that balance. But, I mean, my feeling on this is that we're likely entering an era where everything that we've learned about healthcare over the last centuries is probably going to be eclipsed fairly rapidly.
Yeah.
And I do actually believe that. And you can already see it in some of the things that happened quite, you know, over the long stretch of history, quite recently, right? We'd sequenced the genome and we're able to get all this information, and now that's essential. And you fast forward to now, and all of a sudden, you can see with the LLMs, you know, the, like ChatGPT and things like this, well, now our ability to synthesize text and get it out to anybody and explain it in a language that anyone can understand is incredibly better than it ever was. There's an ability to build digital twins, which we can get into, which is amazing. And our measurement technologies, what we need to feed into this, has grown so much. And so I just see all these trends coming together. And, you know, and I'll just say one more thing. There's a phrase that I really love from Stuart Kaufman, who maybe some people will know, called the adjacent possible. And what that means is, like, what's possible because of all the things that are created, right? You go back 2,000 years, right? A computer, like we're, you know, is not in the adjacent possible. It's way far away. And so every new discovery opens up the adjacent possible of what we can do next. And I try to ask myself every day, what happened today that makes something that I can do now that was impossible before, and just try to do that. So that I find very exciting.
I find it very exciting that you're even talking about this, to be honest with you. I really think it's great that you're out here, because what I love about this, and, you know, thank you for so much of what you did, especially co-authoring the book, The Age of Scientific Wellness. I mean, I think it's so important that we're finally understanding there is a whole picture to a person. I want to ask you about scientific wellness. I love the term. I just love it. I love it because we have a host on here that's going to love to interview you, Dr. Sharon Martin, you know, whose Maximum Medicine brand bridges science and metaphysics. You see, this is the exciting part, but I want to ask you this question. You said something, I want to go back to it. You said something so fascinating. If we could say it 100 times in this show to make a point, I would love it. And that is what AI does from where you're, from your standpoint, is it takes a very complex, sophisticated language, diagnosis, medical, let's just call it compilations of things, and breaks it down so that a person can get a sense of what the heck is going on. Is that a true statement or not?
It absolutely is. And I'll put the caveat, you know, it's not perfect. We've got these things. But no. it is miraculous. That's why when people go too negative on this, just think of where we were a couple of years ago. The notion that you can come in, you can get an explanation, and I've actually argued that if you look at all the medical literature, like let's think of even what's in science, so you know that's back there, which the public pays billions and billions of dollars for and has never really had access to before, because most of it was often behind paywalls, but even if it wasn't, it's language that you really can't, if you're not an expert, it's really hard to read those papers and understand. But with these kind of models, it can explain it to you. Any word you don't understand, you can ask a follow-up question. I don't understand what that means. Explain it. And you can tell them who you are, right? You can literally have it say, look, I have a seventh grade education, and it will write it like that. Or I have a PhD in biochemistry, but I know nothing about neuroscience. Or you can just tell it, and it will adapt. So the ability to transmit information and get into that is just at a level we've never had before.
Yeah. I had a big debate with one of my academic colleagues, and I'm on the AI side of things. They are not. And their biggest concern is plagiarism. I said, no, really, it can't happen. I mean, think about it. When somebody is presenting a dissertation or a doctorate, it's not going to be plagiarism. They're taking complex language or maybe meta-research from 1,000 different articles, right? Think about the scientific research implications of what you're bringing here today. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
100%. And, in fact, I use it a lot even, you know, when I'm trying to learn things about a new field, even myself, what? Because you can go through and you can go read all the papers and do everything, but often you're trying to find a certain piece of information. And this is so incredible at being able to synthesize. Other elements that it's really good at is if you want to understand, let's say you're coming into a new field and you want to know what's the average of what do people kind of think, you can ask it. I do a lot of work in Alzheimer's and we've got some ideas, and I think that they're novel. I can actually test that in the LLM because I'll ask it a question of something that I think is true. And if it regurgitates back to me what I believe, that's not that new. A bunch of other people think it. When it doesn't, it tells me something. And so you can ask it to say, like, write down, you know, what are the causes of Alzheimer's? It'll do that. And then I can say, well, you know, I don't think that amyloid is a cause for Alzheimer's. Give me the metabolic hypothesis. Well, what's that? And so you can use it to understand, like, the broad main currents of fields. The one thing I'll say, though, it doesn't generate radical new hypothesis. It doesn't push the edge. That's where the humans
That's
where we still have an edge. We'll get there, but at least for now, that's what it does.
I love the whole yet thing. You know, it's when you think about things, I love to watch shows that take you back in time and then put a new spin on it. There's a great series on Apple TV, For All Mankind. It really does that. It goes back and I think they must have used AI to do this, to be honest with you. It regenerates the stories as if something else changed. But I want to talk about this because I love the as if something. I want to ask you about the role Thorne plays, because many people may or may not know. Now, they go, they see the label, they may buy something, but they don't really understand the underpinnings of the organization and how you all have been a leader in science-driven, holistic wellness, my language, for so long. So they may be surprised that you're talking about this, but we shouldn't be, should we?
Yeah, there's a, you know, when I give presentations a lot of places, they're always a little surprised about some of the science that's coming out. They're like, wait, I thought you were a supplement company. I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
We have that too. My focus, and I come, you know, from a really hardcore scientific background. I was professor and associate director of the Institute of Persistence Biology for many years, professor for about 20 years already. And so we have, so at Thorne, what we're really focused on is this personalized scientific wellness. So it's testing. This is, you know, we develop microbiome testing. We develop something called the microbiome wipe, which is an innovative way to gather a fecal sample. Get into that much. You know, we've developed this virtually painless at-home blood collection device. We've done AIs, digital twin models with a partner on brain health. It's been a big focus for the last few years. Mm-hmm. And then that all ties into all the nutritional supplements and things like that Thorne does, which they do at a very high, well, we do at very high quality. I would say they, because I don't take credit for it.
Yeah.
It's in the group, they're like, brilliant. I'm such a fan that I always switch into, like, they're doing great because I like to use our products. But that's one of the things that we do within Thorne. And so we have the AIs, the testing, the AIs, and then the supplements. And the analogy that I like is that the natural world, so it's like a natural pharmacy, right? There's things in the natural world that you can use, and I see them as very much a lifestyle's first line of defense. Then I think of natural products, yeah. And then if that builds, then I start looking more at pharmaceuticals and so forth. But the key thing at Thorne is that having those products, like that's like the keys of a piano. It's like you need each of those, and they need to be made at very high quality and really good, and all those elements. And then the testing and the AIs is more like playing the music. Well, what do you need, and when do you need it, and why, and what are you actually trying to accomplish towards your health? And trying to organize that is really the genesis, what I'm really interested in scientific wellness.
I love it because it breaks things down. I want to ask you this question, but before I do, I want to make sure all of you listening, if you want to find out more about this, please go to Thorne, Thorne, don't forget the E, Thorne.com. What I love is that you're bringing something that is so complex for people. And let's talk about it. You know, when we're talking about data-driven, personalized approaches to something, especially when it comes to scientific wellness, there is a breakdown, and the breakdown is in communication, translation, and transcription. And what do I mean by that? And then, therefore, prescription. And what I mean by this is you go to the doctor, they say a few things, write things on paper, you take the paper or automatically online, it goes to your pharmacy, and then you take whatever is given and you never ask, what am I doing? And I think we don't ask is because it's too much of a complex answer. Is the scientific wellness approach going to help us, one, would not make that so complicated, and two, be able to tell us, well, wait a minute, I was just told I have to take glutathione. What the heck is that? What is it going to, you understand what I'm saying here? Is it going to make it better?
Yes, and that's one of the areas that I'm so excited about with these new AI technologies, like we were talking about, because you can get at that answer, right? Well, what is glutathione, and what is it about, and explain it to me, and you can get into interactions. You can say, well, I'm taking this product for glutathione, but I'm also taking this product for, phosphatidylcholine, or I'm taking my omegas, or whatever it is.
Yep.
And you can actually ask follow-up questions about, well, are there known interactions to these things, or is there anything I should think about or not? And as that technology just continues to get better and better, you can start to have a dialogue any second of any day, and there are ways that you can make the output of those more authoritative, stronger. You know, we're looking into a lot of these kind of things. And so that lets you deliver like more trusted,
yeah,
like vetted information, but you can still sort of ask infinite questions of it.
Yeah.
And I said this on a panel at a meeting recently, but I just think the world of personalization has been like in its baby kind of infancy phase, and it's about to really get supercharged, and it's because of these new technologies, and there's a mad race to jump on all this, of course.
There's a mad race. You know, I'm not kidding. In 2019, when we came up with AI for the show, we had to wait. We literally had to wait till this year, last year, because we tried to develop this ourselves before, how do we want to call it, new innovative AI protocols were mainstream, and now they are. I mean, we're talking about some second, third party, but now you can have your own privatized version. So now that we know that, we have a platform to do something, not in the wellness field per se, but to do something in the holistic range of things. I want to ask you this, this question. Will AI change a physician's role, or will a physician's role change on AI, or is it both? I know, look at you. That's a good question, right? This interview was supposed to be over 3 minutes ago, but I had to ask you that question.
It's a really good question. It'll definitely be, I'm kind of deciding how radical I want to go here. But
I'm pretty radical, so feel free.
It'll definitely be both. So I'll start with this, and then I'll give the radical thing I told the president of the British Society of Aging as we were at a conference a couple weeks ago out in Italy. But we already know that doctors that have access to this technology, there was an interesting paper published out of, working with Google on this, that showed that doctors with access to LLMs do significantly better than a doctor with only access to Google or a doctor with access to nothing. You can kind of imagine the hierarchy there.
Yeah.
There are certain situations where the AIs might really do well. So here's the really radical thing that I wonder. So if you look at technologies like Go, AlphaGo Zero, which was never shown anything from human players, beats AlphaGo that was initially trained on all the grandmasters decisively, like 1,000, it'll win 1,000 games out of 1,000, it crushes it. And so I absolutely wonder, I got into this long philosophical discussion out in Italy with, the president of the British Society on Aging, but basically as we got into this, like, I do wonder to what extent, as we let some of the AI technologies that don't quite exist today, but as they get put together and we couple it with massive amounts of data, that it might give us insights into what's going on in disease if we don't filter it through what we think is going on, that might be radically different.
Yeah.
And so I think there's going to be this very interesting dialogue. And then, where the practice of physicians is going to be, it's going to change a lot because we're going to have to figure out, like, how do we deal with this? What's coming out? The AIs are all, it's a very different style of intelligence than us. There's certain things that it would never mess up, like two names of a drug that are close, right, with humans can do all the time. But it also doesn't understand anything except what it's fed, right? So it doesn't even know it exists, right? It's a totally different animal. And so it's going to emerge, I think, quite distinct that as we do some of these, virgin AIs that we don't expose to what we actually think is going on in disease and just feed it data and this new intelligence systems as they emerge, I'm quite excited about the notion that we might just find radically different solutions. And then there's going to be this back and forth between, what we do and what we know and what comes out of these new systems. So
yeah.
That's not here today, but right now it's not that, but I can't imagine that it's not coming.
It's around the corner. I have to tell you, I know I'm going to cut this interview short because I know that you're giving me more time than, of course, we were allotted. But it's a very exciting topic, and we're already hearing rumblings of, let's just call it regulation. That's the term. Regulation, FDA regulation, government regulation, right? We're already hearing rumblings of this, but I want to get to this last point. You know what I'm struck by this? Imagine this world. We're here in the United States. What do we have? The best of the best of the best, right? Some people say. But imagine you don't live here. Imagine you live in some remote place and you have access to a phone, a smartphone, and access to information that could guide you to help someone, wellness or otherwise. Imagine now that we are populating, for lack of a better word, a database that is collecting information from holistic therapies and results that have been used in China for thousands of years, South America, thousands of years. Now imagine that there's something that could put it together for us, complex information in a practical way. Can you imagine that world? I'm trying. I do.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that I think is so exciting about trying to democratize this, because, you know, if you're in a really privileged position and you have access to the best physicians in the world,
yep.
you can get a lot of great information. And if you don't have that, and a lot of forward-looking doctors are really leveraging into this, because this is a way for them to also amplify what they know and what they do and scale it up. And so I do think that the transmission of information that we understand and the contextualization of it,
yeah.
that piece can just be democratized and done in a way that is so much better, cheaper, broader, and so forth. And I think that part is all to the good.
And it's very exciting. You know, I want to thank you for what you're doing and coming out and doing these conversations, interviews. Thank you for allowing us to use the phrase scientific wellness. Thank you for that. You know, this is a shift in traditional approaches, and it is going to be so fast. I think you said two words. One of them is accelerate. I think we're on an accelerated path, and I can't imagine what it's like for you all that are right there behind it. You're in the front lines that are really trying to keep up, to really get ahead of this, because you're in service to us. See, that's what you and Thorne are doing. You're here because you're in service to us, because we don't understand what's going on here. It's going to be painful for us, and thank you for taking the time and your organization to come out here and spend this time in these interviews and to do this in a way that's going to serve people. I can't thank you enough for that, because there aren't enough of you doing this conversation or talking about this right now. So thank you for doing that, Dr. Price.
Well, thank you so much. Wonderful to be with you, and I really appreciate it.
Now, what kind of information are we going to find, and where can we find it? Because this is we got to get some information here.
Yeah, so people want to keep up on this. www.thorne.com, that's thorne.com. You can follow Thorne on various socials. Instagram is @ThorneHealth. And then if you want to follow kind of some of the stuff we're doing on the science side, I'm probably most active on LinkedIn just because I seem to get the most interaction there.
Yeah, me too.
Price on there. I also have Twitter and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, LinkedIn's probably where I do the most long-form posting.
Now, how do we get a copy of The Age of Scientific Wellness? Where do we go for that?
The Age of Scientific Wellness is available at bookstores everywhere. And that's jointly written with Lee Hood. Don't know him, but he won the National Medal of Science from President Obama. Working together for a long time.
All right. Now, listen, everybody. Dr. Nathan Price, Chief Scientific Officer of Thorne. Last question. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with here, Dr. Price?
I think the future is bright. There's a lot of threads that are coming together, and I just hope that we can figure out how this all fits together so it benefits everyone really broadly, and so we can deploy these in safe and good ways, but it should be a wild ride the next decade ahead.
I love that you said that smiling. I love that you said that. Dr. Nathan Price, I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. Look, please find out more about this. This is not a shortcut for those of you out there that think about AI like that. It's not really. What it is, it's a comprehensive explanation of items that are way too complicated and overwhelmed for us to decipher. It will help us, all of us, in this world. It doesn't replace doctors. It doesn't replace science. But think of it as a partner. Thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on.
What if it grew to be more resilient to everyday challenges and create the life or organization you truly want? Hi, I'm Daniel Richman, founder of Elevated Resonance, and I bring a unique blend of expertise to this work with an in-depth knowledge of scientific concepts related to change and resilience. Are you ready to embrace change and celebrate a life worth living? Visit ElevatedResonance.com and ask for Daniel.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony. I'm the psychic lawyer, also known as the psychic explorer, and I'm proud to be teaming up with Dr. Pat Basile for our show, The Psychic and the Doc, Your Practical Paranormal Power Unleashed. And on this show, all subjects are on the table and no topic is taboo. Tune in, and better yet, call in Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.